This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and we start today in the emergency room. Data shows 1 in 9 hospitalized patients have a history of drug or alcohol addiction. Yet at most hospitals in Massachusetts, you won't see an addiction specialist caring for patients. At a time when many in the field are calling for an all-hands-on-deck approach to treatment, it appears to be a critical blind spot. Holyoke Medical Center is different. Maria Quinn is the director of addiction and recovery support there. She joins us as part of this week's From the Newsroom. Maria, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
Is it a busy day there?
Yes, it's busier. Some days are busier than others.
So I want to start in your emergency room, and I respect confidentiality, but I wonder if you could give us a case that you've seen where having an addiction specialist in the hospital really made a difference for a patient.
Absolutely. I mean, I think, so when you refer to an addiction specialist, I think a lot of people think immediately of an addiction medicine provider like myself. I'm a nurse practitioner. But what we've really done is brought in a team of individuals who have a good understanding in addiction. So we have recovery coaches that have been in the emergency room, and I have a certified addictions nurse as well. So somebody comes into the emergency department with either an overdose or here for a health issue related to alcohol use or opioid use or injection drug use. And they're seen by a provider. And oftentimes our providers will refer those patients to us, or sometimes we even know they're there before providers let us know. And we will meet with patients depending on what they're here for and ensure that they're either, if they're having withdrawal symptoms, that their withdrawal symptoms are managed.
Can you give us an example, Maria, of someone you've seen where you've provided these services?
Absolutely. So a lot of times we see folks that are frequently come to us, but other times we see folks that are not maybe from this area. So I can give an example of a young lady that came to us. We hadn't seen her before. We knew that she had a history of substance use. We met with her oftentimes when people don't know us, and we speak to them about how they're feeling and seeing if we can help make them more comfortable. They look at us with a lot of surprise, but then that starts to really build trust and rapport. We prescribe medications to help with their withdrawal symptoms. Oftentimes it's methadone. Just because there's so much fentanyl out there, it's very difficult to start buprenorphine. And then we check in with people very often. So once they get the medication, then I have a nurse who rounds with them multiple times, especially on their first day, just to make sure. We do a lot of advocacy for pain management, because sometimes we see with, especially with folks with a history of opiate use, that their pain isn't appropriately managed. And then if they get medically admitted, then we do a lot of follow-up on the medical floors, making connection, making sure that folks, feel like they're being heard and their needs are being taken care of. And really, a lot of times, to be honest, the majority of our patients never have a visitor in the hospital. So we like to really make that connection. And so this individual ended up finally having her mom come see her. We saw her every day, and, you know, she's transitioned on, and we continue to get updates about how she's doing. But I really think that if we weren't able to work with her, treat her withdrawals, and make sure that she got, you know, the antibiotics and treatment that she needed, that she would have left before completing that.
And so then two things happened, Maria, as I understand it. One, the physical illness that brought her into the hospital might not go treated. But also, this is sometimes, as I understand it, the difference between walking down a path towards recovery, treatment and recovery, versus in sort of, you know, you deal with the acute in the hospital, you walk out the door and you're not on that path. Is that fair, Maria?
Yeah, definitely. That is fair. And I always make sure, our team always makes sure that we let people know that, you know, we're not trying to dictate their forever plan here, right? This is a right now plan. And right now, I think it's important that you feel comfortable. It's important that you don't have pain or discomfort. That doesn't mean that you have to stay on this medication when you leave here. If you do want to stay on it, we will absolutely make sure that happens. But if you don't, you don't have to not be comfortable while you're here.
Maria, you're a nurse practitioner, as you said, director of addiction and recovery support at Holyoke mm-hmm. Medical Center. Why do you want to do this work? Why is this what you do?
I think there's a lot of reasons that go into it for me. One, I'm from Holyoke, so I've always wanted to work in this community. Two, I think for a long time, growing up for me in particular, I was always, you know, you got that message of drugs are bad and the people that use drugs are bad and they go to jail. And for me, that never really resonated because I actually had family members who were in jail and who use drugs, and I didn't think of them as bad people. Actually, I knew that they were very good people. So that message never really quite clicked. And then as I got older, I had a brother who, you know, developed a opioid use disorder, used substances for a very, very long time. He's been in recovery now for over 5 years, but during that time, it was really challenging. I can say that, you know, the relationship as a sibling to somebody who has a substance use disorder is very different as a clinician, right? I couldn't be that supportive person. It's really difficult, but I did know that I wanted and always prayed for providers to be giving him compassionate, empathic care. So any patient that my team sees or that we see, we always see them with that thought in mind that this individual is somebody else's loved one and somebody else misses the person that they were before all of this.
Maria, why don't more hospitals do this?
You know, I'm not sure, but I'm starting to see it more. It's not an easy lift. There's definitely a lot of stigma that is still attached to people with alcohol and substance use disorders. So there's a lot of education that goes into it. We've come a long, long way. It's not impossible, but it really does involve, you know, everybody from nursing staff to medical providers to leadership.
Maria Quinn is a nurse practitioner and director of addiction and recovery support at Holyoke Medical Center. Maria, thanks for your work and for joining us here on Radio Boston today.
Thanks so much for having me.
So from the newsroom, WBUR's Martha Biebinger joins us now. She has been reporting on this, both lack of addiction specialists in some hospitals and this beginning of the shift to addiction specialists, especially in ERs. Martha, welcome back.
Nice to be here.
So let me just start with your reactions to what you heard from Maria.
You know, I think Maria is doing the work on the ground that we want to see in more and more hospitals. I know that Maria also sees patients who tell her, I've never been treated like this. I think she wasn't tooting her own horn as much as she could have. She sees people who've been turned away over and over again with a disease, turned out of hospitals and told to go someplace else. So the work that Maria is doing is really transformative in helping us kind of try to wrestle down this opioid crisis.
Martha, you've done so much reporting in this area. And one of the things that I learned from the reporting you're doing now is this idea that addiction then causes or can complicate other illnesses, which means that those other illnesses weirdly become a possible touch point to provide addiction support as well. Am I understanding that right?
Well, sure. The woman who in the story that I reported on that ran earlier today, Tiziana Marie, she's 63 from Swampscott. She has COPD. That's what they call emphysema and chronic bronchitis now. And she woke up one morning and couldn't breathe. So she called 911. She went in. They treated the COPD. They said, your oxygen levels look good. You can go home. But by that time, she was into withdrawal because she was addicted to pain pills and she hadn't brought those with her and they weren't giving them to her in the hospital. So she begged the doctor, please don't make me go. Like, I'm sick. I can't move. Normally, in many hospitals, she would have been told, you know, you need to go to a detox center. Here's a list of places you can call. Maybe we'll help make some calls for you. But at Salem Hospital, there was somebody there who came in, like Maria is doing in Holyoke, to help manage her withdrawal, to transition her to a medication that can help her stop using the pain pills. And it's been 10 months now, and Marie hasn't used them. She deleted her dealer's number from her phone. Like, she's good.
And that COPD was that inflection point.
Yeah.
So striking. All right, so
1 in 9 patients, Tiziana, I think you said that earlier, but yeah. 1 in 9 patients who come into a hospital have some kind of addiction. Yeah.
So Marie was the patient you spoke to. Maria was the person that we just spoke mm-hmm. with. And Marie didn't want to use her last name. And mm-hmm. what strikes me about that is it underscores Maria, the nurse practitioner's point, that there is stigma here. Martha, does having treatment in the ER change that dynamic?
Well, it's not just ERs, it's hospitals across the board. So it is starting to shift the culture. It is acknowledging that this is disease. It's like putting it on the same pedestal with a cardiologist or a pulmonologist who would have seen Marie for her COPD. So it's acknowledging that this is an illness that hospitals are going to take care of. That doesn't necessarily change the underlying beliefs that have driven a lot of the stigma you just mentioned. There are still people at Salem Hospital, I'm told, who see this as a moral failure or a physical weakness or a mental weakness.
The addiction itself.
The addiction itself. So, but seeing success stories like Marie's can start to shift that thinking too. So hopefully there's a whole kind of cyclical package that's happening right now that will start to make it comfortable for people with an addiction to say, hey, I need help, and then to be able to get it.
So you did a story back in, I think it was June, it was over the summer, about fentanyl, and you focused on some people experiencing substance use disorder in Brockton. And today, your story this morning talks about what happened when somebody got good support. I wonder how you found yourself thinking about those people that you had spoken with in your last story who probably didn't. And if this reporting changes how you think about populations who aren't getting that help.
Well, it is just stunning to me to think that there are so many. I mean, we're seeing record numbers of deaths in this state and across the nation. And it is just stunning to me that we are treating this, as you said, with an all-hands-on-deck approach, that we are still letting people come into hospitals and leave without getting care. I mean, we don't do that for cancer. We don't do that for asthma. Why do we do it for addiction? You would think that this wouldn't catch me by surprise or like make me gasp, but it's still happening and it still stuns me.
In reading some of what you wrote about this, one of the things that also struck me, Martha, was, how do I explain this? Like this very fine thread of funding, but not just a fine thread. It was like lots of little pieces of thread all tied together trying to create funding. And that seems like that's a pretty big issue here, too.
The only way that this addiction specialty program started at Holyoke and at Salem Hospital was because there's a federal grant that was available. It ended in June. Salem Hospital, which is part of the Mass General Brigham Network, has been told they will be able to continue it with maybe a few fewer people. Holyoke is going to be able to continue it, but they don't have the financial incentives that they do to deliver great heart care, for example. They don't have the high reimbursement rates. Nobody is looking at them and saying, are you taking care of your addiction patients? We just don't have that whole infrastructure in place that tells hospitals, this is a priority, we're going to help you fund it, and we're going to make it happen.
And as I understand it, Martha, when instead of receiving this support in the hospital, they get that, you need to go to a detox center. Often there's no detox center that's got capacity to take a person.
There is still limited capacity for detox, for sure, and they may be miles away. When the person leaves a hospital in the midst of a withdrawal, it's described as the worst moment in their lives. And so what they want to do is get more drugs into their body to stop that withdrawal. Mm. So if it takes 5 hours to get to detox, you're asking somebody to sit in a hellish condition for 5 hours while they wait for that.
And they may already have been in one when they were in the hospital. All right. So, and not to use the thread analogy twice, but I will. What threads has this made you want to follow next?
Well, this gets a little wonky, but I think it is really important to figure out whether state and federal authorities start to track addiction care the way they do other types of care, whether they provide some additional financial incentives, and then, of course, the stick, some kind of penalty if hospitals don't provide it. So I think what I have to start watching is really kind of on the policy, the regulation side.
And in your experience, eyes on like that makes a difference.
Well, you'd like to think so. I'm not sure that it always does, but I hope it helps.
I'll be so curious to follow you as you follow that. WBUR's Martha Biebinger. Martha, I really appreciate you coming in. Thanks.
Nice to see you.
You good to see you too, right here in studio too.